If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama will hit the road again next Tuesday in order to promote his jobs plan and keep the conversation away from what the White House calls a bunch of phony scandals.
The president will lay out his plan to continue to help responsible homeowners and those Americans who seek to own their own homes.
White House spokesman Jay Carney says helping struggling homeowners is a good way to help the middle class. Meanwhile, Republican critics of the president's tour say he's doing it to revive his sinking poll numbers.
If I had poll numbers as low as his, I'd probably be out doing the same thing.
House Speaker John Boehner. Obama's approval rating has dropped more than 4 percentage points in the last 3 weeks. The president held separate meetings today at the Capitol with House and Senate Democrats. Some of those lawmakers told reporters afterwards that the president spoke fondly of Larry Summers, one of his former economic advisors who is rumored to be in the mix to become the next Federal Reserve chairman. Carney, however, told reporters not to read too much into the president's comments.
The president would defend that individual as I would.
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Yes, indeed. Hello there. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org, the very last edition for the month of July. This is the July 31st edition of RFA on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number. And thank you very much for being along this evening. A couple of things I wanted to kind of throw out there. Have you heard about the vandalism in Washington, D.C.? I mean, the other day on Fox News, at first light, I think on Monday, there was green paint that someone had tossed onto the Lincoln Memorial. Now, look. I got to be honest with you. As far as I'm concerned, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, in which, though that's about as sacred as something gets in the secular capital of this nation, in which there is a separation between church and state. I mean, defacing the Lincoln Memorial, I got to be honest with you. That on the list of things that are unacceptable, that would be somewhere right at or maybe above the top of the list. I mean, come on. The Lincoln Memorial, green paint. All right, green paint. This is from WTOP AM, a radio station, although now they're FM now. A radio station in Washington, D.C., with which I am very familiar, having worked there back in the mid-1990s. And this is from the Drudge Report. A woman charged, with defacing the Washington National Cathedral was carrying what appeared to be a soda can containing green paint when she was arrested, and she has been linked to at least 4 other incidents of vandalism, including at the Lincoln Memorial, according to prosecutors and court documents. Jiamiai Tian, 58, my age, appeared in D.C. Superior Court Tuesday alongside a Mandarin translator. The woman was arrested Monday at the cathedral, where she is accused of using green paint to deface an organ and decorative woodwork in 2 separate chapels. She's been charged with defacing and destroying private property. A judge on Tuesday ordered her held without bond. All right, now, never mind. The story goes on to say that Jamie Tian, or whatever her name was, you know, at least they didn't make up those names that they ascribe to the flight crew on the Asiana airliner. you know, like We Too Low and the other ones that I, you know, just out of halfway common human decorum, I'm not going to mention. I mean, frankly, I thought it was a panic, but there are some people that just have no sense of humor. What are you going to do? 718-305-7176. Anyway, this woman, Jamie Tian, is from China. She arrived in D.C. several days ago. She said that she lives in Los Angeles. She has no fixed address. She is an illegal alien. She was traveling with an expired visa. When your visa is expired, where is your visa? May I see your visa? When it's expired, you have to go. That's pretty much the deal. And so she is overstayed. That may be the reason why she is being held without bail. The other factor is that green is a color that is associated with Mohammedanism. I don't know if Christianity has a color, a one single specific color that is associated with it. I think Judaism, there is a particular shade of blue, a little bit lighter than navy blue, which you see on the Israeli flag. That may be the color associated, at least with Judaica. But green is a color associated with Mohammedanism, whereas some people today call it Islam, the religion of peace. Yeah, the so-called Islamics, they are the most peaceful religion in the world. And anybody that says it's not will have their head cut off. I mean, seriously. No, come on. But there may be some linkage there. I don't know. I mean, normally a person who is charged with destruction of private property, so apparently they have only charged her in relation to the incidents at the National Cathedral. Otherwise, that is private property. The Lincoln Memorial is not. That is public property. Apparently, she did the same thing at a church in New York City. This is why, let's see. I did see somewhere else. According to court documents, the woman is also suspected of vandalizing a statue of Martin Luther on Thomas Circle in downtown Washington, which was also hit with green paint. Authorities believe the green paint vandalism was part of a pattern of similar acts. Green paint was discovered splattered onto the Lincoln Memorial early Friday morning and was also reported Friday on a statue of Joseph Henry, the Smithsonian's first secretary, outside the Smithsonian headquarters on the National Mall. Now, I've got to be honest with you, it would be difficult for me to imagine a statue less controversial than that of this dude, Joseph Henry, the first secretary of the Smithsonian. I mean, I read one time a long, long time ago that at some point in the 1830s or 40s, the U.S. government received a message from an attorney representing the estate of some dude in Scotland whose last name was Smithson. And Mr. Smithson had died, and he had willed a what could be referred to as a tidy sum. Don't you just love British understatement? to the United States with the codicil, I suppose, that the U.S. government established an institution for the exploration of science and the dissemination of knowledge and learning and, technical engineering studies and that sort of thing. And that's why it is called the Smithsonian Institution. Guy was not even an American. As far as I know, he had never even been to America. But Joseph Henry, the first secretary of the Smithsonian, she attacked that. Or somebody with green paint attacked that. I mean, what you know, got to be honest with you, there is something going on here, and I do not know what it is. What is with these people that do this sort of thing? I mean, vandalizing, like, unreal. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Very glad that you could be along. Hey, let's celebrate the very last day of July 2013 together. It's never, ever going to happen again, ever. And, well, I'm not really sure it's good or bad. It's simply a fact. There's just no way around that. And these days are moving very, very quickly. The older you get, the faster it happens. Look, I don't want to, you know, burst your bubble or anything like that, but the older you get, the faster the days go by. When I was a kid, and by that I mean when I was, you know, 28 or something, I thought the idea of a two-hour drive on the New Jersey Turnpike or something like that was just interminable. It may as well have been, I don't know, you know, 40 years, whatever. But that is not the way it is now. Every moment, somehow, I wish I could get back. And I think that you will as well at some point. It's about 12 minutes after the top of the first hour of this edition of Radio Free America. I did want to pass something along to you. I would like you, will you just do this for me? Just one favor. And that is, I'd like you to join my buddy, Christopher Manti, every Friday night, right here on conservativenationmedia.com for his program, The Christopher Manti Show. It's now at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, for a fresh take, and I mean really fresh, on conservative thought, our modern country, the threat of creeping Sharia, and that's exactly what it is, and the weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., with a little heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, we may change the name of that to simply Eponymous, the Eponymous Show. Check it out. Nobody's going to know what it means. Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And it's about 13 minutes after the hour, 718-305-7176 here at Radio Free America. Oh, well, someone has logged into the chat room, which kicks me out of the chat room. So I will not be in the chat room anymore tonight. You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm the program director around this joint, and it's about time that I probably started making some pretty harsh decisions about people who do not do what they are supposed to do and do what they are not supposed to do. You are not supposed to log into the chat room when the chat room is active with another host. But anyway, I digress. So, I thought we would start off a little bit, you know, on the somewhat lighter side tonight, because the overall news today, as you're probably aware, has not been all that great. It's bad enough that the government is essentially bugging everybody's phones. It is bad enough that the government is essentially spying on reporters. It is using the IRS to, I mean, literally, it is voter disenfranchisement is what is happening. You know, it's funny, whenever someone on the right, and that would be somebody like moi, talks about the idea that if you want to vote in this country, you really ought to have proper ID that shows that you're a citizen and that you are lawfully entitled to vote, the left begins screaming, voter disenfranchisement, oh, they're trying to suppress the vote. No, we're not trying to suppress the vote. We're actually trying to make sure that only people who are constitutionally and legally entitled to vote can vote and do vote. That's all it is. However, when the left doesn't want people on the right to vote, what they do is they take out, they use the IRS to suppress the lawful political activities of their political opposition. That's basically what's going on here. And everybody knows it. We're going to talk about it in a moment. We do have a caller. I'm going to ask this caller to kind of hang in there for a moment because we're going to take a very quick break. Your calls are coming up on Radio Free America, so don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks here, just 19 minutes so far into the first hour. We've got the Freedom Minute with Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, coming up. Let's go right to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hey, Duke, it's Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Tom? How are you, pal?
Oh, man, you know, I just heard Anthony Weiner said he's going to stick it out longer, so.
Okay, Tom. You know, that guy, I've got to be honest with you, he has turned into such a joke that he no longer bears scrutiny as far as I'm concerned. But the fact of the matter is he and his wife both seem to have this kind of personality that says, I am always right. I'm smarter than you. I'm smarter than everybody. And no matter what I do, I am just entitled to rule over you and over everybody else. That's why you have to elect me, and I'm not going to go away until you do. And that seems to be their personality.
Well, I think Carlos and his wife, I think she's backing away from it. I think she's a little more politically savvy than he is, And I think there might be a separation in the near future under the Lord, you know. She's not showing up for the press conferences.
She's taking a leave. She's taking some kind of a leave from the State Department or from the Clinton coterie or something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, now, you know, here's the interesting thing, Tom. I mean, Anthony Weiner's a Jewish guy. His wife is a Mohammedan. And she apparently has some kind, even though she was brought up in America, she's got some kind of a direct connection to the Muslim Brotherhood in some way or another. And the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist group, you know.
And I think Mr. Weiner was in a, not against people's religions, but actually I think his home church is a Christian church. I'm not sure what denomination, but he was at it last Sunday with his rhetoric. He wasn't at a synagogue, but there's something on the internet. Somebody took a cell phone a video of him spouting off and stuff. It was at a church, but I don't know.
Well,
so how are you making out, dude, anyway?
Well, I'm fine. Tom, New York is my hometown. I was born and raised there. And I know it can be a wonderful place, but it can also be extraordinarily weird. And there are some Yes, that's
right?
Exactly. New York, New York, it's a wonderful town. That is exactly right. I mean, almost, almost anything you've heard people say about New York in one way or another is true. And I will always be happy that it was my hometown. It was generally a very good experience growing up there. Not always. That's why my parents, when I was about 11, said we really have to get out of here, because I had to walk 3 blocks to school every day, 3.5 blocks, and I used to get mugged. You know, they would come down from Harlem, and they would prey on the white kids walking to and from school. And,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You must admit that they have had colorful mayors from the beginning.
Oh, there's no question about it. A lot of people will think of Fiorello LaGuardia, but it goes back even further than that. Boss Tweed, Jimmy Walker was another one. It is a personality-driven office to a large extent. And if you're going to be the mayor of New York City, you had better be somebody that can handle it, because it is a tremendous... that's a huge government. I think that when Rudolph Giuliani was mayor, and as you recall, Tom, he had been the United States attorney for New York before.
Yes.
He knew it. He was a very good lawyer. But he, on one occasion, he made a statement to the effect that, when he came in, he said he was going to clean up crime. There were all kinds of little nuisance crimes that were going on. You'd be stopped at a stoplight, and 3 guys had come up to your car with squeegees trying to get you to tip them for washing your windshield. And a lot of people were, let them earn their money. It's the only way they can earn their money. But the fact of the matter is a lot of those guys were criminals. And there were people that were victimized in the act of doing that sort of thing. They just were stopped there, and these guys would come up with squeegees and rob them and that sort of thing. And Rudy Giuliani had to understand, he wrote in his book that, we were trying to figure out what to do with these people, and suddenly somebody from the city attorney's office on his staff said, that's jaywalking, that's against the law, which it is. And that's how they finally cleaned it up. Tom, I do have to take a break. I've got to run, but real quick, if you've got an observation, quickly.
Well, then you had Ed Koch, when he was the congressman at Koch, complaining about the welfare hotels, like the Hotel Carter and Hotel Dixie. He goes, how come the mayor doesn't do anything? He becomes the mayor, and he says, I can't do anything.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, Ed Koch had his pluses and minuses, but, may he rest in peace.
How am I doing? Yeah, Ed Koch.
That was it. Yep, that was his line. Tom, thank you for calling, my friend.
Yes,
great
sir.
To hear from you again, pal. Hope to hear from you again soon. Tom is a great guy. He and I used to speak quite a bit when I had my show at GMD. In any event, it is time for Senator Ted Cruz, a minute of some common sense, and this is the Senator's Freedom Minute. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute. Recently, President Obama did yet another, quote, pivot to jobs, essentially rehashing the same economic speech we've heard for years. More and more government programs and more taxes. His policies just aren't working. Since the president took office, the average rate of annual economic growth has been a paltry 0.9%. This is hurting everybody. If President Obama really wanted to spark economic growth, he would join the growing chorus of elected leaders calling for fully defunding Obamacare, the single strongest step government can take to unshackle jobs, investment, and growth again in America. I'm working hard to help lead the effort to defund Obamacare in the next 2 months, and it's time for the president and his party to join us in a real agenda for jobs and growth. I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. The possibility of President Obama either A, understanding how a free enterprise, free market economy works, or B, turning against the idea of socialist medicine is about as likely as it being a cold day in you-know-where. 27 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Our very own international correspondent, Christian, calling in now from Denmark. Christian, welcome, my friend, and happy belated birthday to you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, that's true. I turned a sharp corner yesterday. I turned 40. Had a fine day. So, yeah, and I'm calling you, as I always do, on Wednesday from Denmark.
So what's happening over there in Copenhagen now, home of the world's oldest monarch?
Nothing much. It's a summer holiday, so all the politicians are on vacation, so nothing much going on over here. I had a comment about the green paint thing on the Lincoln statue.
Yeah, very, very bad.
Yeah, and I think actually there's a very interesting thing to that, and that is that that all this painting, all this graffiti, all this thrown rubbish in the streets, it actually occurs much more in areas where people are lefties, where they are socialistic oriented, where they're liberal oriented, and not so much in hardly ever in conservative traditional areas. Germany is actually a very interesting place to observe that in, because in Germany, in the south of Germany, in Bavaria and that and such, they're very conservative, they're very traditional people, very Catholic, and in the north of Germany, they are more socialistic, social democratic, very liberal, very lefty guys. And when you start off in the north of Germany, then you have all these ugly streets with loads of graffiti. But then as you go further down the country, heading south, then there are less and less. And when you reach the southern part of Germany, Bavaria and such, there are no graffiti. And I think it's something to do with that lefty people. They have not been taught to be proud of their country, and if you're not proud of your country, proud of your community, proud of your city, then you don't want to protect it. But if you are proud of your country, then you are feeling that if you're painting on the walls or throwing garbage around, then you're really throwing it on yourself and on the people that you love, and then you won't do it.
Well, I'm not surprised that there are, you know, the leftists, they love to deface things. They are unruly people. I mean, I was in Germany a very long time ago, mid-1970s, and I was very impressed about the fact that everything was very orderly, neat, clean, precise. when they say the train leaves at 1326, it leaves at 1326. And I would think that the Germans would not tolerate that sort of thing anywhere. How about in Denmark? Is it is graffiti a problem over there?
It is, and it really is. It has become that. It started in the 80s, you know, where there was all this black culture flowing in from America, you know, the hip-hop culture, rap and breakdance and all that, and graffiti was part of that. And then it kind of stayed on after a lot of the rap, the breakdancing stopped, and the graffiti really stayed. And now when you're in the city areas, there's graffiti all over the place, and they're trying, you know, to clean it up, but then, you know, as soon as they have spent lots of money cleaning it up, then wham, there's graffiti again. And it's really a shame, because it makes the city look look worse, and that's really a shame. And I really blame the lefties for it. It's because it's a lack of morals. It's a lack of taking personal responsibility for improving your country, and it's also a sign of that in lefties environment, in lefties precincts, you can't be judgmental. So if a guy wants to, you know, paint with spray paint a wall, then you can't be judgmental and say shame on you for doing so, because that's being judgmental. And so I really blame the left for it, and it's and I really think it's not the biggest problem we have in Denmark, but it is a problem, and I think it should be addressed in many places, really, and I think there should be some harsh punishments for it. Because that is really the only way left to regulate when people have no morals.
That could very well be. Christian, I've got to run, but thank you for calling in, my friend, and I hope that we'll hear from you again next Wednesday.
And you will. Thank you.
All right, pal.
Have a nice
evening. Great night. Thanks again. I really enjoyed Denmark when I was over there. It was wonderful. Anyway, it is time for us to take a break. I did want to remind you, you know, we hear about this quite a bit, and it's got to be one of the worst things that can possibly happen to anybody today, and that is identity theft. Now, if it does happen to you, it might take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
left. You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy
and Brad
Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three lights
happy
and then take
it.
The next left.
I don't really think she's
five more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Thank you, Gary Doran, and thank you, John Lennon, for singing I Am the Walrus. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here, about 36 minutes now after the hour. On hour number one of Radio Free America on the very last day of July of 2013, somebody get out the history books because you're going to want to tell your grandchildren. They're going to say, Granddad or Grandmom, what did you do when Radio Free America was on the air on the very last day of July? And you don't want to say, well, I shoveled horse dung in Louisiana, as General Patton is alleged to once said. I don't know if he ever actually said that. That was one heck of a movie, though. You know, it's funny. Sometimes movies do a very good job of presenting to people what real life actually was like, and other times they do a terrible job. Good example, Tora, 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 great movie. You know, some people describe it as a box office bomb. I think it was profitable, but it, you know, it was not like a mega blockbuster. And I think to a large extent, if something is not a mega blockbuster, therefore it is a bomb. I don't know. I think Tora, Tora, Tora was an excellent movie. I think that movie that came out in the year 2000 with Ben Affleck and Alec Baldwin was a terrible movie. It was called Pearl Harbor. It was awful. And, of course I saw the movie. I think I've watched it twice, once on video and once in the theaters. I went to see it in the theaters when it came out. But, it was just a terrible film. I mean, if you've seen that, if you have seen Titanic or any of the other great, big, huge blockbuster movies, give me a call and let's talk. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. If you are an American, then you are probably a winner. At least you've got the capacity to be one. It's not always true everywhere else in the world. I mean, there are parts of Europe that I really like, but I can tell you, I spoke to a buddy of mine in Utah earlier today. And he said he had been on business, had been in Germany 10 or 15 years ago. He was doing business in Frankfurt, Germany. And he said it was almost every corner, almost every block, almost every street, there was a store or a cart where you could buy Frankfurters, which we call a hot dog, all kinds of great German sausages. And he said that was a snack. It was lunch. It was great. Everybody ate them. They were wonderful. Then he said he went back over there a year or so ago, and he said you could barely find a Frankfurter shop in Frankfurt. Everything is now kebab, shashlik, you know. And I am presuming that there are now so many Mohammedans that have moved into Germany that whenever they move into a country, they don't move in there to assimilate into that country and to become part of that country. They move in to take over that country. They are not interested in assimilating. They are interested in imposing their will on the other religions and the other cultures in the world. Obviously, there is no value in Mohammedanism that is remotely similar to or compatible with any Western values whatsoever. We all know that. I mean, we see the way they act over here. We see what they do in England. I mean, almost every day on the internet, I see something about, you know, Muslim arrested in rape, murder of 14-year-old boy. Two Muslims arrested after beheading an English soldier on the street. This happens all the time. Why doesn't the American media report it? It doesn't really fit their template. It's not really part of their narrative. After all, the Mohammedans attacked America viciously on 9/11. So as far as the American media is concerned, heck, they hate America almost as much as the Mohammedans do. So the Mohammedans can't be all bad. As a matter of fact, maybe the Mohammedans are the good guys. Maybe the media thinks the Mohammedans are the good guys. And obviously America is the bad guy. That's the way most reporters, editors, anchors, producers, correspondents, that's the way they look at things. There isn't any question about that. I've only worked in this business for about 40 years. What the heck do I know? It is about 18 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. Thank you very, very much for being along. You know, we are just constantly battling in this country. It's difficult to live in a society that came into existence at the peak of a Western intellectual movement known as the Enlightenment, in which it was presumed that human beings will always act rationally. And now to have to live under those values, where there are people coming into our country who are not going to act rationally and they're going to use our freedoms against us. That's exactly what they're doing. There isn't any question about it. You know, speaking of the leftist media, they would really love it if conservatives like us thought that we were isolated and a minority and, you know, just a couple of guys here and there, a couple of gals thrown in for good measure. But that's not the case. Don't let them fool you. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to polls almost everywhere, even the ones done by liberals like the Washington Post, CNN poll, the New York Times, NBC poll, the Brookings Institution. The majority of people in the country that identify themselves as conservative, it's almost 2-1 against the liberals. Now, if you, like me, respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It is traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it here in the CNM.com building. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, minus the turf wars. There's always turf wars going on, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening. There's no turf wars at TRADAM, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That is www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. TRADAM, of course, is a liberal-free website. Oh, the glory of it. Let's go right back to the phones. You are live. You are live.
Hello?
On Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Bruce. How are you doing?
Bruce, how are you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Clearfield, Utah, currently right now.
Oh, very fine.
Where
is Clearfield in relation to Salt Lake or Park City?
Oh, Salt Lake is about 30 minutes away from me, 25 minutes away, not far at all. Yeah.
Okay, very fine. So what's happening today, pal?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I was listening to your show at first, but I don't mind commenting or whatnot. Actually, on a very funny note, I love how you're talking about bringing America back. I actually am a young black man. I'm only 28 years old. And I wrote a letter to Rand Paul talking about how, because he's going for the black vote, and my people don't understand how good conservatives are to them. I think there's a stigma of racism that lies in conservatism that's been gone past. The Democrats, these leftist people, are very, very, very against personal freedoms and rights. And for people who marched on Washington about personal freedom and rights, my people don't really realize the history of what the left right now is doing to them, Obama included. A lot of my African-American people love Obama, and I get ridiculed on a daily basis for the fact that I talk about his drone strikes, about his policies, about the fact of the NDAA, about our lack of due process. I mean, just continuing issues, and my people just look at me like, oh, no, you can't be... No, that can't be right. And I'm just like, you guys have to understand that the more we vote these liberals in the office, is the more that they're going to take away our personal freedoms and rights. Right now, the liberals have just become such a force, a bad and menace force in our media, in our everyday lives, that we can't even see normal views. And it just worries me. I mean, it worries me a lot.
Well, it worries me as well, Bruce, but because I am a conservative Republican, I will not subdivide the American people along racial lines or ethnic lines or anything else. I mean, because I'm a conservative Republican, I take people as individuals. You're either an American like you or you're not. And I don't believe in special privileges based on color or race, and that being based on what happened during the Civil War 150 years ago. It's just, it doesn't look. If you're an American, you are entitled to certain constitutional rights. If you're not, number one, get out. Number two, shut up. But if you're an American, you're entitled to those rights. I don't care if you're over the age of 18, you're entitled to them. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you're an American, you're entitled to those rights. And listen, I think that the Democrat Party in this country has been keeping the black people in this country essentially in like a pen for a long, long time. And it's very easy to tempt people with, look, you give. We're going to give you free stuff, and you keep voting for us. And a lot of people are going to go along with that. And I wish that black people in this country would just, would one day say, "Wait a minute, we're better than this. We don't need somebody holding our hand. We don't need somebody. We don't need some kind of an almighty protector in Washington D.C. We can make it out. Of course, you can make it out. Anybody can if they really want to."
And I mean, I understand your point about dividing, not dividing, well, racialized. I'm not a racial person either. I just brought that up because, I mean, like, so many of my people, they make that division. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And they live by it. And I've been trying my best to get them to understand that this isn't about color. It's about what they're writing on these papers in this legislation. I mean, we have a liberal dominated place where right now, our rights, I mean, the NSA. I mean, just look at the NSA by itself. and all those 217 that voted in favor of the NSA, I believe 200 of them or 190 of them were Democrats. Very small field were Republicans. I mean, just that alone should tell you about how our country feels about personal rights and liberties among the liberal and the conservative lines. But people just tend not to understand this. And I mean, I think this NSA scandal, I mean, it's, even though it's already been known in some ways, it's very scary. You have our privacy just being just ransacked. Then you have President Obama and the Democrat control. I can always mix up House and Senate, but, and you should be aware of this if you're not, but, it's a bill, and I need people to call their senators about it. Obama and all the liberals are trying to rewrite who exactly can be deemed as press. It's very, very ugly. It pretty much is bills, and they're saying that unless you have a covered, they use the term like covered journalistic or like a certain type of pass, citizen journalism, you can't be a citizen journalist. And that's just a total violation of our First Amendment rights to say who's a journalist and who's not a journalist.
Bruce, this is something that the international left has been trying to get accomplished since the 1970s. In the 1980s, this guy from Africa named Joshua Mabow was the chairman of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, with a headquarters in Paris, a budget of millions upon millions of dollars a year. The only thing they ever really did was put out a bunch of pamphlets with their agenda, and international licensing of journalists was one of their agenda items.
Whoa.
They still exist. I mean, this is something the left has got to control the media. It's something that they really cannot exist without control over the media and control over education. That's what they're all about. They've got to pollute people's minds, primarily when they're children. And if they can't get to them when they're children, they have to try to pollute their minds when they're adults. That's all there is to it. Bruce, I do have to run. My friend, thank you for calling, and I hope that you will call in next Wednesday.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, my friend, out there in the Beehive State of Utah. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America. We are going to take a quick break. Duke Brooks here. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. We have kind of changed our name. I mean, you can still get to us by going to conservativenationradio.org, but you can also get right where you are now by going to conservativenationmedia.com. We are moving into the big time, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Now, I should have some news for you in a few days. You may have heard Robert Garding on the weekend on Saturday, and Robert kind of let the cat out of the bag. We may be joined on air on Thursdays very soon by a gent whose name is Maxwell Roberts, who may be doing a show. Well, I'll give you a hint. His middle name is Winchester. That ought to kind of give you a hint as to what his program will be all about. But we'll let you know as we get closer. Now then, this I can tell you. starting on September 1st, which I believe is a Monday this year. That's Labor Day. ConservativeNationMedia.com will be moving. Our weekday shows will be moving to 8 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, starting on September 1. We will be adding additional shows, and we will have news about those coming up at some point very, very soon. So you want to stay right here and continue to listen, because there is always something interesting and fun going on inside the halls of the great alabaster and adamantine steel office building downtown here. Right downtown is where our office building is. That is the headquarters, the world and universal headquarters of ConservativeNationMedia.com. It's really the most impressive. You've never seen anything like it, folks. I guarantee it. You know, you look at it and you think, well, now I've seen everything. But look, you think you've seen everything until you've seen a grown man eat his own head. You have not seen everything. But I digress. 3.5 minutes until the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very, very much for being along. We have, you know, there are a variety of different things that are going on in the Senate and in the House right now. Frankly, you know, they are going to try to defund Obamacare one way or the other. And I'm all for it. I don't want the government to be standing between me and my doctor. If the government feels that they need to provide medical insurance to a segment of the population, they can do so in a way that is dramatically more efficient than the way in which they do it now. I am not making this up. In any event, government control of medicine is not about medicine. It is about control. I think everybody understands that now. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Thank you very much for being along. O.J. Simpson tried to get parole today. I wasn't aware that it just didn't seem that it had been let's see, it's been about 5 years since he was convicted of armed robbery in Las Vegas. I mean, I got to be honest with you. If anybody is convicted of armed robbery in Las Vegas, I'm not really sure why it would be OJ. I mean, from what I understand, there's an awful lot of armed robbery, a lot of one-armed robbery that goes on out there, if you take my meaning. But I digress. In any event, as I understand and as I recall, he had gotten word that someone had some of his NFL memorabilia, which was still rightfully his, and he went to get it back. And what he and another guy or two people did is they showed up at the hotel where some kind of a sports memorabilia convention or sale was being held, and they went into the room where this one business had some alleged OJ memorabilia with guns, and they went to take it away from the guy. And what did the guy do? Well, he called the police. You know, I got to be honest with you. OJ was a wonderful football player. He was not a bad actor either. I mean, I saw him in a couple of movies, and I thought it was more. He was credible, at least. But his judgment very obviously leaves an awful lot to be desired. So he has been in prison in Nevada for close to 5 years now, and today he got denied parole. What are you going to do, OJ? You should have just, you know, who knows? Anyway, hour number two of Radio Free America is coming up. You stay right where you are. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up? Just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? But everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. Welcome back. Thanks very much for being along. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number. We don't have one of those fancy newfangled 800 numbers, and that's because nowadays you really don't need one. I mean, every time I see an 800 number published somewhere, I always think, well, why would anybody bother? I don't get it. I mean, everybody today has a calling plan. Everybody except one or two people that I know who are still paying by the minute because they're sure that they can control their usage to exactly 1.734 minutes per day. And if they do that, they will save 3 cents a year over a calling plan. Yep, absolutely. And by gum, they're going to save those 3 cents. I really just don't know what to do. You know, I got to be honest with you. Look, you shouldn't throw around money. Huh. My girlfriend's probably listening, thinking to herself right now, what are you, out of your mind? Yep, it's... She's much better with it than I am, that's for sure. But by the same token, I once said there's a great book. Guy wrote a series of books, and I've forgotten his name, Robert something or other. One of them is called The 48 Laws of Power. Another one is called The 48 Laws of Love, and he's got quite a few of these. I think three of them at least. And they are very, very interesting. In one of them, he did the one called the 33 Rules of Money or something like that. And in one of them, he found some sort of old text, you know, from the Middle Ages or something, you know, Theodoric of York, medieval barber or something like that, wrote, and he said, money is like water. If it is kept up and if it is not allowed to move around and if it is kept in the dark and kept hidden, it will go stagnant and it will be unfit for human consumption. Unless you boil it, unless you clean it, and you know, it's a very interesting thing. That's probably true, and there are a lot of things that people do in their lives that, you know, money buys. I mean, you know, some people say, no, I'm not going into a restaurant unless it's a McDonald's or something. I don't want to have to tip somebody. Their boss ought to tip them, not me. Okay, fair enough. It's just that is a custom, a tradition, and now it has become a way of life in the Western world, in the English-speaking world, for about the last 200 years or so. That is simply the way things are. You're not going to change it, okay? And if you want to go somewhere and you want to really enjoy, look, I'll be honest with you, I am a fool. For a great meal at a great restaurant. I mean, you know, look, I can't wait to take my girlfriend to Ruth's Chris one of these days. That will happen. You wait. It will happen. And I've been lucky. I've eaten at about 15 Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris is wonderful. I don't know if you've ever eaten there. No, I'm not going to get in trouble for talking about a restaurant that is not paying us to talk about. Forget about it, okay? It is awesome. Ruth's Chris is tremendous. If you get the opportunity, you should go to a Ruth's Chris. I've eaten at about 15 of them. I've only eaten at two that were not very good. And even the one in, I think it was in Hartford, Connecticut, that was not really all that good. Even that one was a lot better than any other restaurant you're ever going to go to. Actually, I would have to say three, because there is one on, I think, on Market Street in Philadelphia, or Broad Street, right in Center City. It's just a couple of blocks from the Union League and City Hall. That one, you know, when they bring you out your plate and there is like a big giant crack in the plate, you want to send that back, which I did. And, you know, at one point, after having salad and soup or whatever, I flagged down the waitress and said, is our dinner coming out soon? And she looked at me with this quizzical look on her face, and she said, oh, did you want me to put those in? As in, did you want me to order those? And I said, I'd like you to bring them out. It's unbelievable. So that, you know, I wouldn't give that one an A plus. And then later, I ate at the one in King of Prussia, which is the town where I grew up when I was a kid. After I moved out of New York and moved to King of Prussia in 1967, where Ed McMahon used to live. If you don't know who Ed McMahon is, You know, you have missed something great about American entertainment. I'm sorry, but Johnny Carson thought the fact that Ed McMahon had once lived in King of Prussia, a town called King of Prussia, Johnny Carson thought that was a scream. You don't know who Johnny Carson is? Okay, if you don't know who Johnny Carson is, you're one of these people that probably thinks, you mean there was another host on The Tonight Show before Jay Leno? You're one of those guys? Okay. It's like, you mean Paul McCartney was in another band before Wings? Really? Okay. Anyway. The one in King of Prussia, I had to send my steak back twice because they just, you know, I like it to be medium rare, and they brought it out the first time. It was almost raw. It was just lightly singed on the outside. Then they brought it back. I sent it back a second time. When they brought it out again, it was rare, and I like it medium rare. And finally, they got it right. But I think I was there with my best friend, Bill McGarry. I don't remember, but you know, he was like almost finished by the time. And to make matters worse, we had to sit next to this table of Mohammedans. There was a Mohammedan family in there, and it was a father, a mother, one daughter, and I think a son. And the mother and the daughter were sitting there wearing those ridiculous shrouds out in public. You've got to be kidding me. Unbelievable. I don't think anybody should be allowed to go around dressed like that, except on Halloween. I was hoping that the French were going to crack down on it, but no, the French did what the French have done since Napoleon died, and that is they dithered and they wrung their hands and they wet their beds and they said, oh my, oh my, oh my, and I think finally they backed down. You know, I mean, I've got to be honest with you. Sometimes I wonder, is it really worth the spilling of American blood that we did in World War One and World War Two to liberate France? Is it really worth it? I just don't, you know, sometimes I think, what on earth is the value of it? But, you know, if they would clean up Paris and clean out Paris, I think it would probably be fine. But who knows? You know, the chances are very good that they just aren't going to do that. I just don't think that they have it in them to do it. You know, they just don't. They're too afraid of offending people. Not really sure what kind of benefit they get from having the Mohammedans there. I think it's free labor, same thing as us allowing every illegal immigrant in the entire country of Mexico into this country. Thank you, Democrat senators, and thank you, Republican senators, who think it's more important to be able to say I reached across the aisle than it is to actually stand up for our American society for a change. John McCain, he talks like a conservative, he talks like Ronald Reagan on steroids back in Arizona, but when he gets to Washington, he votes with Harry Reid and like Nancy Pelosi. It's unbelievable. Incidentally, I don't know if I mentioned my cousin Frank was being just the wonderful sweetheart guy that he is. He gave me a smartphone for my birthday. And that's a good thing because conservativenationmedia.com is now fully optimized for smartphone usage, such as the Android, the iPhone. So it doesn't really matter where you are. You can download our podcasts or you can listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. It's the same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And it's about, let's see, it is about 13 minutes after the hour, and we're going to take a quick break. More calls and more interesting news stories are coming up, so you stay right where you are.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Okay. So just type the job website address here, That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America. This is conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here, and that music, The Ashokan Farewell, which was written in the 1980s. But you know the story by now. This is the 150th or sesquicentennial anniversary of the Civil War, so we're keeping track of what was happening in our country, not very far from where I am right now in Dover, Delaware, 150 years ago. This is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac with E.B. Long and Barbara Long. July 31st was a Friday in 1863, a momentous month which had seen the fall of Vicksburg and Port Hudson and the Battle of Gettysburg came to a close with skirmishing at Lancaster, Stamford, and Paint Lick Bridge, Kentucky. St. Catherine's Creek near Natchez, Mississippi, and Morris Mills, West Virginia. In Virginia, federal forces pushed across the Rappahannock with fighting at Kelly's Ford. You know, I'm not really sure why there is a place in Kentucky called Paint Lick Bridge. I don't know. There's a place in North Carolina called Frog Level, North Carolina. I'm not making this up. There is. Okay. I've been there. Frog Level is not very far from a place called Chocowinity, North Carolina, which is not all that far from Washington, North Carolina. These are all kind of north of Wilmington, if I remember correctly. Haven't been in North Carolina in a long time. It is a wonderful place, and I would love to go back there. But I remember being there one day, driving around one day. This would have been in the spring of 19 or the summer of 1999. And I was trying to set up a gig as a with a television news helicopter. And I was speaking to a TV station in eastern North Carolina. And I'd gone to a meeting with the general manager of the station. He was a great guy. And I remember that there was a stand, like a shack, by the side of the road. And there was smoke coming out of the little kind of like tin smokestack on top of it. There were a couple of older cars that were parked there, little dirt impromptu sandlot parking lot. And there was a sign that was leaning up against one of the cars where someone had hand-painted the letters B, B, and Q. And I looked, and here it was, and they had some kind of a generator lash-up in the back. And I pulled up, and here were these two or three old black ladies that were in there. And there was an older black guy. And I got a plate full of Carolina-style barbecue, some homemade coleslaw, homemade baked beans, about maybe a dozen hush puppies and a large, at least a 20-ounce cup of sweet tea with a little ice in it, the kind that would drive Mayor Bloomberg out of his mind. And that meal, as I recall, was about $2.50. And I must be honest with you, in since 1975 or so, I have never had a meal that was as satisfying, as enjoyable. I mean, it was just off the scale. You know, those little broken down shacks by the side of the road in Carolina, there's nothing like them. Absolutely nothing. And my buddy Art Kudner on one occasion said, yeah, some of them are beyond compare. He was absolutely right. Art's a very understated guy. But he was absolutely correct to say that some of those are beyond compare, because that one absolutely was. When I first moved to Carolina in 98, it took me about, 2 minutes to get used to Southern cooking. Southern cooking is wonderful. They do have their own, they've got their own taste down there. Okay. I mean, I kind of grew up in the Mid-Atlantic. I like scrapple. I love scrapple, as a matter of fact. I mean, I enjoy it. It is great for breakfast once or twice a week. I'm pretty sure that in Delaware is the only place in America, Delaware and maybe the eastern shore of Maryland, the only places in America where you will find grits and scrapple on the breakfast menu together at a roadside or any place. You know, anywhere that south of the eastern shore of Virginia, once you cross the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay and you get into Tidewater proper, the Norfolk, Portsmouth, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach area, once you get there, I don't think you're going to find any scrapple on a menu, and you're probably not going to find very much of it in the supermarket. Southerners just don't like it. A guy in Carolina in, Thomasville, I was having lunch with at a barbecue place. I mentioned scrapple, and I think he said something to me along the lines of, you got to be kidding me, that's dog food. You know, well, sir, no, it's not. Now, north of, north of Dover, where I am now, you're not going to find grits on the menus up there. You're just not. I mean, you know, Yankees, and I can call them Yankees. I'm from Manhattan. I can call them Yankees if I want to. I don't care. They always talk about the South like, oh, they're all a bunch of sheet-wearing, cross-burning, black man lynching, homophobic, xenophobic, racist, bigoted, blah, blah, blah. Look, I've got news for you. Northerners, New Englanders, Yankees, they are just as prejudiced and just as racist and just as discriminatory against anybody they don't like as they claim other people are. I mean, why they get away with it? Well, I know why they get away with it. Number one, they've got a lot of the money. And number two, they own all the TV and radio networks and newspapers in the country. That's why they get rid of it. Why they get away with it, rather. I don't know. Maybe we ought to get rid of them. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Have you checked out my buddy Robert Garding, by the way? You know, I watch the numbers at conservativenationmedia.com, and we can see that the switch is on. I mean, people are listening to us, and it's very rewarding, very satisfying. But it's not just the listeners. Robert Garding's program, the New Wise Conservatism Show, is now right here at conservativenationmedia.com every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Robert has always had a huge following on the internet. So if you listen up this Saturday, you're going to find out why thousands of people love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and I guarantee that you will too. So listen to the New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. About 25 minutes now after the top of the second hour on this edition of Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number. Glad to see so many people in the chat room. But, you know, for me at this moment, it's kind of irrelevant because earlier one of the other hosts decided that he or she would log in the chat room using our standard login, which knocked me out of the chat room. And Teresa and I are going to find out who did that. And oh well. Incidentally, I just got a message from my girlfriend. I spoke earlier about the book series, The 48 Laws of Power, The 33 Laws of Blah, Blah, Blah. Robert Greene is the author. Linda's right. Yeah, that's very, very good. Thank you. Huynh, thank you. You are so good. She's always there, you know, always there. I love her. Anyway, I mentioned the other day that today I thought we would talk a little tiny bit about some of the, you know, some of the scandals surrounding Washington, D.C. and how they got there and what is happening. The mainstream media wants to pretend that they are not there. The mainstream media does not want the American people to know about this because the mainstream media very obviously has as much of an agenda-driven vested interest in keeping Democrats in power in the White House and in the Senate and the Congress as the Democrat Party does. I mean, the fact of the matter is they are one in the same, okay? Let us go to National Review Online. This also is coming through Drudge, and this is by someone named Eliana Johnson. I do not know who that is. Embattled Internal Revenue Service official Lois Lerner and an attorney in the Federal Election Commission's General Counsel's office appear to have twice colluded to influence the record before the FEC's vote in the case of a conservative nonprofit organization, according to emails unearthed by the House Ways and Means Committee and obtained exclusively by National Review Online. The correspondence suggests the discrimination of conservative groups extended beyond the IRS and into the Federal Elections Commission, where an attorney from the agency's enforcement division, in at least one case, sought and received tax information about the status of a conservative group, the American Future Fund, before recommending that the commission prosecuted for violations of campaign finance law. Lerner, the former head of the IRS's Exempt Organization Division, worked at the Federal Election Commission from 86 to 95 and was known for aggressive investigation of conservative groups during her tenure there too. This is a quote from one of the emails. Several months, and this is an attorney at the Federal Election Commission writing to Lois Lerner. Several months ago, I spoke with you about the American Future Fund, a 501c4 organization that had submitted an exemption application to the IRS, the FEC attorney wrote to Lerner in February of 2009. The FEC, which polices violations of campaign finance laws, is not exempted under Rule 6103, which prohibits the IRS from sharing confidential taxpayer information, but the email indicates Lerner may have provided that information nonetheless. When we spoke last July, continuing to quote now, you had told us that the American Future Fund had not received an exemption letter from the IRS, the FEC attorney wrote. All right, now, this may sound like it is kind of minutiae and that sort of thing. The fact of the matter is, this is enough to send people to jail. There is absolutely no question about it. This is enough to send Lois Lerner and other people to jail. And frankly, I believe that they should go. It is the bottom of the hour. Now, let us assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you are a conservative. I think that's a fair assumption. That means that you love our country, you love our Constitution, and you probably don't want to get caught short in case this ridiculous leftist government of ours drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that is the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution and be ready for whatever those crazies in Washington have cooked up for us. This is where America always wins. More of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com, that's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Listen, either one will work. Either one will work. We are expanding our horizons here. Someone in this building is smoking a cigar. And I think I know who it is. I'll give you a hint. It's not me. I don't have anything against cigars, but I smoke cigarettes, but anyway, I digress. But we are now conservativenationmedia.com, but we still own Conservative nationradio.org. And as I mentioned earlier, there are some changes coming up. It's all good. It's all good. No problem. Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be fine. Starting September 1st, our weekday lineup, Monday through Friday, is moving to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. Actually, Barbara Buffing came up with this idea. I think it's a very, very good one. And she was right. And I'm very, very glad that she had her thinking cap on, because she had some ideas about that, frankly, me, being strictly an East Coast guy, had never occurred. However, that is what is happening starting September 1. At some point in the next 30 days, we expect to be adding a second hour of programming each day, at least. That will begin either immediately after the 8 to 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 Central programming, or immediately before. So we will have four continuous hours of programming. Will be two different shows each day, but anyway, hang on, sit down, strap in, and hold on, because this is going to be a rocket ride, I absolutely guarantee you. About 23 minutes now, before the top of the hour, we are in hour number two, the second and final hour, on the last day of July 2013. Somebody get out the record books. The number is 718-305-7176. And Duke Brooks is my name. We have seen quite a few things happen in Washington. Here is pretty much the deal. Many people are not old enough to remember what can be called the summer of Watergate. In 1973, starting in, I think, really right around Memorial Day, the Senate Select Committee on Investigations, the Senate and the Congress were both controlled by the Democrats back then. And if you were a Republican president in the White House, or you were a Republican anywhere in Washington, D.C., the fact of the matter is it was only a matter of time before you got into very, very serious trouble. Didn't matter. Could have been jaywalking. You know, it could have been looking cross-eyed at the Washington Monument. I mean, if you were a Republican, you were going to get into trouble if you were in Washington, D.C. in the 1970s. So anyway, the U.S. Senate is investigating President Nixon, and the chairman of the committee was what almost everybody in the country agreed was a nice old guy who was pretty fair-handed, and he was, you know, he was not really hyper-partisan like Reid or Nancy Pelosi or any of those clowns. And his name was Senator Sam Ervin from the great state of North Carolina. And everybody called him Senator Sam, and pretty much everybody liked Senator Sam. I didn't like the fact that they were just trying to take apart President Nixon. President Nixon did not plan the break-in at the Watergate office building. There is no evidence whatsoever. Even liberal historians will admit this. There is no evidence that he even knew it was going to take place before it did. There is, however, incontrovertible evidence that he knew about it immediately thereafter. And he tried to cover it up to protect his people in the White House, because President Nixon was a guy whose personality was largely characterized by his own sense of personal and national loyalty. That was something that was simply part of President Nixon's personality. He was a very loyal person. And if he liked you and you had been loyal to him over the years, he was going to do what he could to help you. And that was ultimately was his downfall. He did not order the Watergate break-in, He was not behind it. He did not tell G. Gordon Liddy to run that operation. He did not tell Ehrlichman, Haldeman, Mitchell to pay the Watergate burglars using funds from the committee to reelect the president. He didn't do any of those things. But his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, he did, and he knew about it. And Nixon didn't know about it until after the fact. And the cover-up is what got him in trouble. Now, here's the deal with what is going on now. The chief lawyer at the Internal Revenue Service is this longtime Democrat activist, Obama acolyte, and serious donor to Democrat candidates by the last name of Wilkins. There are only two political appointees at the Internal Revenue Service, and that is the commissioner and the chief counsel. Now they have discovered records that the chief counsel, the chief attorney for the Internal Revenue Service, was in the White House for an extended meeting the day before instructions came from the IRS headquarters office in Washington, D.C., to the tax-exempt division that they were to begin applying extra scrutiny to Republican groups that had the words Tea Party, Conservative, Constitution, or Patriot in their names. The dots are there. As far as I'm concerned, they are connected, but the media is just, they don't care. They are actively trying to cover it up. Now, if the Congress, either the House, well, the Senate won't, but if the House subpoenas people from the IRS and the House designates a special prosecutor, the Justice Department will not be able to do anything to stop it. If that happens and the media ignores it, at that point, I'm afraid we're going to have to start talking about investigating whether or not the broadcast networks and the broadcast stations have actually been discharging their duty to operate in the public interest. Because if you don't tell the public that sort of thing is going on in Washington, D.C., you're not operating in the public interest. Come on, man. I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? Speaking of common sense, Kevin Wade has some observations. And always enjoyable. This is Common Sense with Kevin Wade on conservativenationmedia.com.
Many Americans today believe that the defining obligation of government is to provide cash, food, medicine, and housing to its citizens. Of course, as Abraham Lincoln said, it is a mistake to think that government can give something to one person without first taking from another. America has always been a land of plenty, and it will remain so as long as free enterprise defines the work of our economy. Common sense conservatives believe in a safety net for our fellow citizens, but not in a hammock. Government's primary obligation after upholding our Constitution and national defense is to get out of the way of the American people. Some thoughts on the economy after this.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
The former president of the AFL-CIO, Lane Kirkland, once said that it was through work and work alone that a man or woman realizes their own true potential, provides for their families, and secures their own future. When government gets out of the way, the economy will brighten as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Absolutely no question about that, Kevin. What a great guy. Anyway, 15 minutes left in this edition of Radio Free America. This is Duke Brooks. This is conservativenationmedia.com. 718-305-7176 is the number here if you want to put in your 2 cents worth. Listen, I'm not going to snap your head off. I mean, I am happy. I love it when liberals call. There probably are very few liberals listening, because liberals cannot stand to hear any opinion expressed other than their own. That's all. They just want to hear other people that talk like they do. I guess, you know, maybe some people would say it's because that they are so insecure that they have to have some kind of a constant affirmation, reinforcement that they are right, you know, and they're not right. You know, that's, I mean, 100 million people can call a dog a horse. It is still a dog. By the way, I wanted to ask you, have you checked out Inside Tennessee on Mondays with Dave Vance? Have you listened to that yet? You really should. Okay. I'm very, very proud of how well Dave is doing. Dave is brand new to radio and internet talk shows. And he sounds like a million bucks. Now, it is called Inside Tennessee, grant you, all right? But now, even if you're not from the volunteer state, there are issues that are affecting Tennessee, and these issues are beginning to spread out all over America. Dave Vance, who is a veteran, brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. And his program is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I old habits are hard to break, but I promise you by this time next Wednesday, everything is going to be all right. As Judy Davis said to John Turturro in the Coen Brothers film Barton Fink, a movie I absolutely love. I hope you do as well. Maybe we'll chat about movies in a moment. I don't know. Anyway, time to take a quick break. More of your calls and more musings on the day's news coming up, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backwash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
when
country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
when I grow
trail.
Up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I
want
to
be
a...
I want
to
be
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. That, of course, the late, great Bernard Herrmann conducting the theme to what I think is Alfred Hitchcock's best movie, North by Northwest. Let's go right to the phones.
Hello.
You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who's this?
Hello. Wait, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London in England.
Oh, very fine. What's happening over there? I spent quite a bit of time there. I loved it.
Thank you. You know, we're currently doing what we do best, trying to rebuild our economy. There's still a lot of celebrations about the royal baby. Besides from that, there's not much going on over here. Well, how about
what
things
is
over
this?
Where you are?
Oh, there. Not bad. We're trying to rebuild the economy as well. But unfortunately, we've got a socialist in the White House who just doesn't believe in it. Now, let me ask you this. I was wondering the other day, when I look all back through the history of the royal families of England, going all the way back to William the Conqueror, there has never been a king named Thomas, as far as I know. Why is that?
There's actually ancient folklore about the name Thomas with in regards to London, which is, you know, the seat of power for the royal family.
Yeah.
It was first believed that the name Thomas was given to a priest who one of the first priests in England who helped bring over Catholicism, etc. So what happened was this priest Thomas, when he came over, it turned out that he was eventually killed or by punishment for crimes committed against the people of London. And as a part of that, the royal family always refused to name a king Thomas, or any prince for that matter. Because it's ancient folklore that the priest of Thomas would claim the haunted spirit, if you believe in them, will claim the king's soul, which would lead England into further chaos.
Very interesting. That is now. What part of London do you live in? The city of Westminster, or do you live in the East End or the West End, or whereabouts?
I live on the borderline of the city of Westminster,
okay.
So I'm covered by, you know, I live in Sodom, which is in the city of Westminster.
So you're not very far from the tower then?
Oh no, in fact you can actually see the tower on a clear day from my bedroom window.
Wow, that must be awesome. I went through the tower of London when I was there, I went through Westminster Abbey. I didn't go into Westminster Palace, the Houses of Parliament, but what I loved about London and what I love about England is that almost anything that you can point to, there is some historical significance to it.
Totally.
And I'm all about history. Have you been to the U.S., Mike?
I went once, and I'll be a bit agitated about returning back if another socialist gets put into power, because I went in the last Obama's last regime, when Obama was elected last regime, he changed the immigration law slightly, which meant I had to. I spent 5 hours going through immigration and customs control because they thought I might be trying to immigrate when I had mentioned I was only going on holiday.
Well, if you had instead gone to Mexico, you could have simply walked across the Rio Grande. When you got here, you could have claimed aggrieved minority victim status, and you would have been allowed in. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what's going on now. It's ridiculous, and you know, if you do things, if you want to come in and emigrate into the United States, maybe even become a U.S. citizen, if you do things according to the rules, you will get tripped up everywhere and by almost everything and everybody. If you try to sneak in through the back door, they'll never catch you. I mean, it is getting ridiculous. What is the status of the Nigerian Mohammedan dude that killed, Corporal Digby or Corporal Rigby?
Digby, Corporal Digby, I believe. The Mohammedist, because there was two of them, one of them was sentenced to capital punishment, which is normally only reserved to treason, such a, like, you know, a crime against the royal family itself. But Corporal Digby was elevated slightly to royal status simply so they could prove a point. So one of them is going to be hung, actually, which is slightly barbaric in my opinion, but I guess it proves a point. And the other one, I believe, is seeking asylum in the UK. And because we have a socialist, communist government in control, they believe, oh yeah, this guy deserves equal rights as us. You know, he's come over here, he's killed one of our soldiers, but that doesn't matter because he's, you know, oh, he's an oppressed nigger from, you know, Israel or whatever. So he's coming over and he's
okay.
He's
asylum. Well, Mike, we don't like to use terms like that on our air at conservativenationmedia.com. But anyway, my friend, thank you very much for calling in, and you know, people should know better than to say things like that on this station. That's all there is to it. We don't let people call names like that. At the end of the day, it doesn't prove anything. You know, it just doesn't. Anyway, a little less than 3 minutes to go before the end of this episode, the very last episode on the very last day of July of 2013 of Radio Free America, and I, of course, will be back next Wednesday. I'm wondering if, when he said that one of the perpetrators had been sentenced to death, you know, right away that kind of was sort of a red flag, because I believe that the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland completely outlawed all forms of capital punishment, no matter what, at some point in the 1970s. And one of the cases that, you know, they had several over there where they used these as, you know, kind of public means to abolish the death penalty. One of them was a case involving a guy named Christie, and Christie was a very weird guy who invited women into his house, and he sedated them somehow, and you know, he passed himself off as a doctor or a nurse specializing in female. I have no idea, but they hanged the wrong guy before they were able to catch Christie, who was the real killer. I think the only argument against capital punishment in the case of some crimes is the fact that once it's done, it cannot be corrected. Anyway, this has been a real blast. I look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Radio Free America, Duke Brooks here. Have yourself a wonderful evening and a great week.